Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Hello, good evening and welcome. It's just after 6 o'clock and for the next hour, we're here to help you master your money from earning and managing it to making it work for you. We'll share clear advice and practical strategies to keep your finances on track in today's fast-changing world. So first, the day in a snapshot, a weaker day on the JSE, the Rand also on the back foot, gold bullion is down fractionally and Bitcoin is up by over 1%. Coming up on the program, Fly Safair's overbooking problem. What's really going on? Sugary drinks, sweet treats, or a bitter health crisis? The economic impact of not placing junior doctors? Why AI changes everything for Matrix? And shares in life healthcare surging today? We'll find out why. All to come, let's start the show.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Let's start with the aviation industry, and the National Consumer Commission says it's investigating Fly Safair for allegedly bumping a ticket-holding passenger from a flight. The airline has responded, saying it's confident its policies are compliant with the Consumer Protection Act. It goes on to say it prides itself on being transparent and consumer-focused. However, the airline is also urging the commission to conduct what it terms a fair and balanced investigation without disproportionately targeting them. Joining us now is Kirby Gordon, who is Chief Marketing Officer at the carrier. Kirby, a very warm welcome. We know that overbooking is common in the airline industry the world over, but maybe explain the mechanics. Why is this practice necessary for airlines?
Thanks, Jeremy. It's great to have the opportunity to ventilate this issue. Yes, overbooking is something that is used across the entire industry, both locally and internationally. And it's quite an important part of our business model. What it allows us to do is to exploit a degree of breakage, which means that we can ultimately keep fares slightly lower, but also allow for slightly more lenient policies when it comes to individuals that do miss their flights, and we would otherwise have to operate an aircraft with an empty seat rather than serve them again on a later flight.
So how does an airline calculate the risk of a no-show passenger when deciding to overbook? What is it's an algorithm, I imagine.
Yes, and this is a very kind of key element to the whole story. I mean, the Consumer Protection Act obviously does permit this degree of overbooking. It's a common practice within aviation, but also within hotels, etc. And what you have to do is prove that you are doing this responsibly. So we look, of course, at the number of no-shows that we get per flight, and then we take we then determine a number of overbookings that we would permit per that particular flight. And obviously, one looks to do that, you know, far below what the average number of no-shows are on that flight in order to be able to ensure and to responsibly manage that you give the opportunity to the passenger to have the best possible chance of actually getting onto that flight.
How do you decide who gets bumped off a flight if no one volunteers to step forward?
In our instance, I mean, every airline has a slightly different policy as to how they address it. In our instance, it's a sort of last come, last served approach. So ultimately, if no one voluntarily wants to get off the flight, then we use the person that checked in last.
And they've just got to live with the frustration, and the airline is prepared to take that risk.
Yes, so I mean, there is obviously compensation that is associated with it. It is something that, again, that is managed very closely through the Consumer Protection Act to ensure that you do the appropriate things. So in our instance, what we do is we offer R1,000 compensation per passenger immediately, and then we try to put them on the next available flight, be that a flight with us or through one of our reprotection agreements that we have with other airlines, to get them away as soon as we possibly can. And mostly it happens that they get away within, you know, an hour of when their original departure was. So usually it doesn't really have a particularly large impact. It is obviously very frustrating to individuals that do experience this. I'd say they are very few compared to the number of individuals that we can help through lower pricing and through genuinely missing their flights and then needing some more lenient policies to get onto the next one. So on average, if one looks at it across the world and across the history of aviation, as a business practice, it is something that helps us to thrill and accommodate more customers than it does disappoint those that are unfortunately impacted by the policy.
Nonetheless, there will still be people who are disappointed. How often do people rail against this? How many complaints do you get in an average year?
Relatively few, to be honest, Jeremy, because the reality is that it happens so infrequently. This impacts, we've done the calculation over the last 10 months, and this impacts 0.00006% of our passengers. So you can understand that it's not really a whole lot of people that are influenced by it. And usually we're able to recover the situation very quickly, as I say, getting them with that compensation onto the next available flight, which is frustrating, but never necessarily the end of the world.
How transparent is SAFAir with its customers about the possibility of overbooking when they purchase a ticket?
I would argue that we're the most transparent in the local industry. Obviously, as a result of this and the homework that we've been doing for the NCC, we've been reviewing the terms and conditions for all local airlines. And ours very clearly stipulates that we agree that we will overbook our flights to a certain extent, and that the compensation that we will offer as a result of being bumped off a flight is XYZ. It's very clear and very transparently put out there in very plain language. Of course, you see it in other terms and conditions for other airlines, but it's just generally kind of masked under the ideas of denied bookings, etc., etc. We're very frontal about it.
Has the National Consumer Commission investigation into this latest incident begun yet?
We've started our preparations. They've given us a deadline that we're working towards. So they've asked us to prepare against a certain questionnaire. So we have started and commenced with that process. And we've obviously also written to them to say, we're very happy to comply with this because we do believe that we're within the realms and the remits of what is outlined in the Consumer Protection Act. But as you mentioned before, we insist that they actually look at the industry at large. We're not lone rangers in this regard and in this practice. And so it would be unfair to disproportionately target us off the back of this particular complaint. They really need to look at the whole industry, because we believe that we're actually far more conservative than most when it comes to this practice.
You wouldn't be raising that concern unless you have worry about the way in which this investigation is going to proceed, though.
I think we've got no reason to be worried at this stage. We haven't dealt with the NCC directly before. We have, dealt with various inquiries through the likes of the Competition Commission. And generally speaking, we find these bodies to be very on the ball and to be very thorough in their investigations and very fair. I think they understand the need to balance what is important to the consumer with good business practice and with also the sort of sustainability of the businesses that they serve and investigate. So we're very confident to participate with them and very willing, and obviously to give them the benefit of the doubt in terms of a fair review.
Are there any plans to adjust your overbooking policy to better address customer concerns, or are you satisfied with the veracity of it as it exists?
As it exists in the moment, and given the the statistical analysis that we've done off the back of it and obviously continue to review, the intention is to maintain it as it is. But of course, we will work with the NCC and the industry to see what the outcomes are of their particular findings, and we can take it from there.
Kirby Gordon, I must also ask you this question. Your carrier has certainly been in the news over the past couple of weeks. There was the high-profile alleged racist incident on a recent flight of yours. What's the status of that investigation? And I'm wondering to myself, as this issue still percolates, whether there are lessons that the airline has learnt about handling sensitive situations involving passengers, or are you happy with the way in which it was handled on board?
Yes, that was a deeply unfortunate incident. Obviously, it's very difficult for us to deal with this. We do deal with, the larger public, and this time of year particularly can perpetuate some rather unpleasant behavior. As the situation stands at the moment, to answer your first question as to where it is, obviously from an airline's perspective, we've done what we need to do to redress our policies and our procedures, in which there's not really much recourse that we managed to change. I mean, obviously, we have fairly little control over the behavior of customers who fly with us, unfortunately. We've taken, the best care that we possibly can of the employees who were involved in the situation. And naturally, we have disclosed to the particular individuals that they are no longer welcome on any SAFAir flights. Everything consequent to that, with regard to her employer, the SABC, the comments that were made by the ANC, the issues that were taken to the Human Rights Commission, etc., those are all very much processes that are ongoing between herself and those the various institutions. I know as much as you do in terms of what I read in the news.
And just a final one, do you think a person like this who is showing signs of inappropriate behavior should either have been flagged at the lounge or even at the boarding gate before this even got on board?
So we do. We do frequently deny boarding, and that is also something that is stipulated in our terms and conditions. If we do see somebody that is clearly intoxicated when they're boarding, obviously that depends entirely on their behavior at the time. So, you know, we would rely upon them showing evident signs of not being fit to fly. And that does happen from time to time. But unfortunately, in this circumstance, no one, you know, that was not evident at the time of booking or the time of boarding. And so this particular passenger was allowed on board, and it was during flight that her behaviors changed.
Kirby Gordon is the Chief Marketing Officer at SAFAIR.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.